It's one of the most familiar and endearing stories in all the scriptures, this parable of the prodigal son from Luke. It's a long reading, to be sure, but it is, I think, good for us to refresh our memories on the story itself and what it tells us about the Lord God, how he looks at us, how we are to look at him. Maybe you're movie buffs, maybe you aren't. I wouldn't consider myself to be one, but I'm just familiar enough with movies to realize that, well, most of them nowadays are pretty much garbage. But I'm at least familiar with some of them. You may have heard recently, if you keep your ears to the ground in the Catholic blogosphere, but recently there was another Hollywood conversion to Catholicism. A very unlikely person, actually. Shia LaBeouf, you may or may not know who he is. He's a younger actor. He's been, probably the most recent stuff he's been in is Peanut Butter Falcon and Fury. If you've watched that, it's a World War II movie on a tank crew in Germany. And he's the gunner in the tank. He's a very good actor, I think. He's very convincing. Earlier in his career, one of the bigger blockbusters, it's that, you know, it'll be the timeless classic of the ages, you know, the Transformers. Anyway, garbage movie. But he's in that as well. But he's kind of this reputation for being kind of happy-go-lucky and earlier in his life. But in recent years, his reputation pretty much went into the toilet. And for reasons such as he was accused by two different women in previous relationships of being abusive in several ways. He never really answered one way or the other whether he was, you know, that was the case or not. Let's just say there's a lot of smoke around the guy. So he's a very unlikely character, and because of all these things, and he had run-ins with the law and the substance abuse issues and all of that. I mean, the guy was a complete dumpster fire. By his own admission. And so he was essentially blacklisted here recently for many kind of acting jobs, and he was really kind of at the end of his rope. He actually did an interview, and I would encourage you to look this up on YouTube and listen to it. It's quite lengthy, but it's definitely worth the listen. It's an interview between himself by Father or Bishop Robert Barron. He's always going to be Father Barron. Bishop Barron interviews him because out of nowhere, and as Providence would have it, he was offered an acting gig to portray Padre Pio in a biography about him, which actually I think is, if it's not released yet, it's going to be released any time now here in the U.S. And so he didn't know anything about this guy, Padre Pio, St. Pio. And I highly recommend that you look him up too. If you don't know about him, amazing priest and saint of recent memory, died in 1968. And so he was asked to do this job, and of course he saw it not as an opportunity to learn more about holiness. He saw it as an opportunity to get back into his career. And so, of course, he jumped at the opportunity. Then he, as a part of a kind of an immersion process to get inside the character of Padre Pio, he went to live with some Capuchin friars at a small seminary in California that they have. This is the order, this is a Franciscan, particular branch of the Franciscans that Pio belonged to. And so he lived with them and for like 6 months, and he did some basic classes in the faith and all of that, and lived the communal life with these friars, and something began to happen in him. You know, he was at rock bottom. In fact, he said prior to getting this offer, he was, in his words, I had a gun on the table. I was out of here. It kind of tells you where he was personally, internally. And he confessed of having this great shame. He found that he could not even go out into public because of all the things that he had done and that were alleged that he had done. But he became into this environment. And he was so moved, not necessarily by the things that he learned, but what he observed about the men that he lived with there in the friary. He was astounded to find that they weren't trying to sell him anything. They weren't trying to convert him. They were simply inviting him into their life. And he found for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, authentic joy starting to revive itself in him. He started to realize that there was more to life than all the selfish things that he had pursued up until that point. Those same selfish things that had driven him to such a pit of despair and isolation and separation. He was miserable. And he found trying to slip into this role, a whole new world that cast light upon him. And I encourage you to look that up, Shia LaBeouf and his interview with Bishop Barron. It really just happened like a couple weeks ago or so. And the long and short of it is he's converting to Catholicism. He's converting to Catholicism. And I think that story is so powerful. And obviously we need to pray for him because, as you can imagine, authentic Catholic values are not something that are warmly welcomed in the Hollywood culture. He will be set upon, just like other actors who have stood up for their Catholicism have been. And be sure the old boy, the evil one, is going to be bringing out the teeth and claws against him. And because he's a public figure and somebody who has the potential to show a great light in a conversion that is so radical, he needs prayers, right? So, as do any individuals who really try to leave behind a life of radical sin and try to achieve a life of radical holiness. But I think what he voiced was that he found in Catholicism, even in the stories of some of the saints, he mentioned particular Saint Augustine, that he saw that these depraved and craven individuals could become saints. And so he realized then, in looking at even the examples of other people's lives, that it was possible for him too. And it gave him hope where nothing else could, even a career of fame and fortune. Right, and the possible promise of being able to reignite that kind of fell into the background for him. Rather, he started pouring himself more and more into this new world of the faith and a new life that can afford us. I think that it's important for us, especially we who have been perhaps throughout our lives connected to the vine, trying to do the right thing and all of that. Oftentimes when we're confronted with somebody who is very obviously moving in the opposite direction, we can become somewhat, disgusted by them or put off by them. Or we can try to, we can have this innate desire to kind of bat them aside. Like, well, you don't really, want to try for God very hard, so I'm not going to give you any time at all. Well, that's not what these Capuchins did, and it changed the heart of Mr. LaBeouf. And it changes everything. And this is what Jesus was doing. I mean, at the beginning of the gospel today, the Pharisees were, and the scribes were really becoming disgusted with Jesus because he was eating at table with tax collectors and sinners. That was in ancient culture, that was a very tacit way of saying, I approve of this person, and I approve of what they're about. And so they saw that, what Jesus was doing, as an endorsement of these people's sins. But no, that is of course not what he was doing. He was drawing them back to the Father. He was drawing them back to the Father. And he tells this series of parables, of course, culminating with that great story of the prodigal son. And I think that just perfectly exemplifies what I've been talking about with the conversion of this actor and the conversion of anybody who, once again, leaves behind that radical life of sin for something more. We, for our part, ought to recognize that each in our own ways, you know, we are that prodigal, right? And to recognize how we need to convert, how we need to come back to the Father, you know, of course, through the sacrament of confession. Incidentally, I mean, that picture that's hanging up inside the confessional there is, I think it's Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal Son. Such a beautiful image, this father, like, just embracing the son. And the son is just abject, right? I mean, his hair, he doesn't have any hair. One of his sandals is gone. The other one's falling apart. All his clothes are just rotten and filthy and falling off of him in rags. And here's the father embracing him. And he puts this cloak on him and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. He's saying, you are once again part of the family. You have dignity. You have dignity because you have come back to me. And I have been waiting for this. Now notice, though, again, you know, the allegation of the Pharisees is that Jesus was endorsing the sins of these tax collectors and sinners. No, he was not. And in telling the parable, notice that Jesus doesn't include a detail that the father goes out to the faraway land, to the great empty place, to follow after the son. He doesn't do that. He doesn't endorse the sin in that way, but he is there steadfastly waiting, gazing at the end of the driveway, waiting for his son to come back. And when he does, he runs out and he falls upon his neck, it says. He falls upon his neck. And that's exactly how the Lord wants to be with us and to all those who sin. He sees every single one of us as unrepeatable treasures. And so we should see each other that way too. We should see ourselves that way. We should dignify ourselves enough to realize that if we indulge all of our lower desires, that we will find ourselves in the same place that Mr. LaBeouf did, in misery and the chains of isolation and despair. Only through disciplining our lives after Christ can we know that real freedom, that real dignity of having the cloak on our shoulders and the ring on our finger and the sandals on our feet, God embracing us once again as his beloved children. And so we ought to, one in the same time, strive against sin, but also welcome the sinner, right? Not the sin. Because in validating the sin or the sinful behavior or the lifestyle of sin, we are, in a sense, condemning that person to the prison that they are currently in. We are, in a sense, locking the door and saying, you're good. We cannot do that. But nor should we ever, ever, ever turn our back on them in the sure and certain hope that with the grace of God, we can bring them out of that darkness and into God's light. So that's the message. That's the message. And once again, I'll say it a third time. Look up that video and listen to it if you can. It is beautiful. I might even post it up on the website. The way he speaks is profound, you know, in what he has found. And I hope that in listening to it, you could treasure what it is that we ourselves have found, maybe as infants. But what we have access to is this priceless treasure, the treasure of a father who loves us and wants better for us.